like God's plan, they should be percentages. And whenever we obey God's plan, He has made this several promises. One of them is that He will open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. I shared last week, don't let anyone tell you that's talking about spiritual blessings. The context is totally financial. God will bless those who faithfully tithe. But not only does He promise that, in verse 11 He says, and He will rebuke the devourer. He not only will bless you, He will protect what you have. One of our members this week shared a testimony, and I, of course, asked permission if I might share this. I think it is just so confirming of what we're preaching this just this week. And she wrote it up and gave it to me and gave permission to use it. I think I need to make you aware, just without any further explanation, this person's retired. They're on fixed income. They are a widow after a beautiful, beautiful marriage. But listen to what she shared with me this week. She said, Pastor, someone dented my car, leaving the metal exposed. And I was told that if I didn't get it fixed, it would rust out. So I called the mechanic. He came and got the car. He fixed it and brought it back like it was new to my house. I said, how much do I owe you? And he said, nothing. He said he had done work for my husband and for my son. And he said, this is a gift for you. What a God we serve. Going on, she said, I needed two teeth replaced. My dentist suggested implants when I told him that's not in my budget anytime soon nor even in the far future. So just do partial denture repairs. He would not agree. And after several discussions, he told me to make an appointment for the implant. I said, I hope you understand this is going to be paid for over a long period of time. To my amazement, he said, set the appointment. And after the implants were made, he said, you do not owe me a dime. Pastor, who ever heard of a dentist doing free implants? What a mighty God we serve. I'm still reading her testimony. She said, ashamedly, I had second thoughts on tithing on the gifts, like you spoke about that Sunday. But the Holy Spirit convicted me and reminded me how much money I would have had to pay out of the pocket for those gifts I received. And yes, the Holy Spirit won, and I tithed on the gifts. Praise the Lord. He is so good. I love, you know, getting confirmations. I mean, God's word is true, but how wonderful it is when we practice and hear, and I've heard so many. Our lesson today, as you can tell, lesson number 3, and it's on the back of your bulletin in case you're visiting with us today. And you will notice that our theme this morning is stewardship is not only about money. Say it to me, will you? Stewardship is not only about money. What could that possibly mean? In 700, maybe 750 BC, in that period of time, a very famous prophet named Micah asked a question. And that question is on the front of your bulletin, and as you know, as members, it represents the theme and the heart of our message today. Here's what he said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? The Holy Spirit placed that word required upon your pastor's spirit several weeks ago as we were preparing these messages for our annual emphasis. And what does God require of those who want to please? We've heard Linda share several times today so beautifully that we want God to be pleased. We want to stand before Him and hear Him say, well done. Well, what does God require of believers? And I'm speaking to believers today. Number one, you'll find in the Bible over and over again that God requires our time. God requires time from us. Most of you remember that there are 10 commandments. How many? 10. So important that God even engraved them on stone. You that have been coming weekly, remember that in the first week of this series of messages, we preached on that 10th commandment. I am just amazed how many times I'm talking to people and I mention the 10th commandment, even call it by name, and they don't have a clue what it means. But it's a commandment. Thou shalt not covet. And we talked about how that virtually every financial problem Christians have comes from wanting things that other people have. When God says you're not to covet anything that another person has, it comes as a result of going out and buying things that we do not need, we just want, and spending money or charging money that we cannot afford. Well, beloved, there's not just one commandment, there's 10. Do you remember what the fourth commandment was? Remember the Lord's day to keep it holy. Not a suggestion, not a recommendation. It's a commandment of God that one day every week, stop what you're doing. Push away from your work. Rest your mind. Rest your body. And restore your spirit. It's not a day for sports. I mean, some people plan their Sundays around the ball games. It's not a day for overtime to try to catch up for covetousness. It's not a time to plan reunions. Linda, when I was growing up, if any company came on Sunday, they either went to church with us or they waited until we got home from church. How different it is today. It's not a time where you mow the grass and manicure the lawn. Sunday is not a holiday. According to the Bible, Sunday is a holy day. 52 weeks a year, just like our tithe, we're told, is holy. It belongs to the Lord. In fact, even after I not only had completed the outline that was printed, but even written the manuscript early this morning, God just impressed me with some other insight. I wonder how many crises God has to bring in Christians' lives just to get them to do what He deserves, and that is to spend time with Him. We get so busy out here, either caught up in materialism or trying to pay back what we have bought, and we don't spend time with God, and sometimes God just sends a wreck. Sometimes God just puts us in a situation you got a lot of time to do what He created you to do, and that is to spend time with Him. I want you to look on the screen before we even start to read. What's the first word? I underlined it for you. So before we read one word, can I ask how many of you genuinely want to be blessed? How many of you would really like Jabez to have a double blessing? Yeah. All right. First thing God says, you want to be blessed? Here's what He says. Blessed is the man, the woman, the person who, first of all, does not get your counsel from ungodly and does not deliberately hang out in fellowship with sinners and refuses to sit around people who scorn God and the things of God. But instead of that, what does it say? His delight is in the law, the word of the Lord. And notice this uppercase capitals, meaning to the saved, the redeemed. And in His law doth He what? How often? Day and night. And the person who does this, God says, shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit. We won't have this off and on, hot and cold, warm and then lukewarm. No. He'll be like an evergreen, bringing forth his fruit, and his leaf shall not wither. Altogether. And what else? Prosperity. Blessings. God promised to people who just take time day and night to spend with this book of wisdom. In fact, I love Proverbs 8:17. It's one of my life verses where God said, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early. Can I ask you something? How do you show love for someone? Watch out. So I buy them a gift. Oh no, you can give gifts with ulterior motives. I'll tell you how you really show love is by spending time with someone. Jesus said, I love them. Isn't that amazing? I love them who love me and show their love by getting up early. And all alone, not to be seen or known by anyone, and spend time with me. See, I'm not a morning person. Then do what your pastor does and get your two alarms. We find a way to get to work, to get to important engagements. I'm very serious about it. I don't think it has anything to do with your temperament. It has to do with commitment. It is required. Stewardship is not only about money. God desires and deserves quiet time. Weekly, 52 weeks a year, daily, start the day and end the day punctually and joyfully and consistently with the Lord. And before I move on, let me show you two verses from that very famous Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached one day. And what I find so amazing about these two verses, if any of you remember the context of Matthew chapter 6, I cut it off on purpose because I want to set it up. I want to frame it. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, why are you stressing? Why are you worrying? Why are you fretting over three things? What you're going to wear? What you're going to eat? And where you're going to sleep. Boy, that covered a lot of our worries, didn't it? Don't you find that interesting? He says, do not worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, or where you're going to sleep. Don't you understand your heavenly Father knows you need these things? What kind of Father do you serve? But instead of stressing over these things that does no good, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and here's His promise. And the Father, who already knows your needs, will add these to you. God requires our time, but you know what else God requires? Our talents. Our talents. Romans chapter 12, and if you want to, all the scriptures I wrote down for you where you could get into in-depth study. But in Romans chapter 12, the Bible clearly says that every believer has a spiritual gift. You may not know what it is. I was raised in church, even graduated from seminary. I never even heard that there were any spiritual gifts. Sure didn't know what mine was. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, and walking with God, He'll use that gift even if you don't know that you have it. But I think it's so important. God says, I don't want you to be ignorant of that. And in Ephesians chapter 4, it's very interesting. He tells us in verse 12 that these gifts are given for the benefit of other believers. They're not for your benefit, but for the perfecting of the saints, for doing the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. And again, if you would take time this afternoon, and it's not the point of this message today, but if you were to read that list of spiritual gifts, You would find that some have the gift of preaching, and some have the gift of teaching, and some have the gift of ministering, and some have the gift of exhortation. They're good at counseling and encouraging people. And many people have the gift of serving. They just love to serve. They don't want to be seen. And some have the gift of giving and some of showing mercy. But the point I want you to get today, every child of God has a gift. You have a talent. And it's a spiritual gift. It was given to you the day that you got born again. You thought all you got was eternal life. You did. But you got more than that. You got the Holy Spirit. And you got a spiritual gift. And I want to ask you to look on the screen again. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. What does he tell us? How many? Every person. Every believer has received the gift. What are we to do with it? Use it to minister one to another. As, there's our theme. As what? What's a steward? We just manage that which belongs to somebody else. The gift belongs to him. He gave it to us. We're stewards. And we're to use it by the grace of God to minister to others. And I want to stop right now and ask every believer in this building today, and everyone that may be listening by means of technology, how are you doing with your spiritual gift? Are you making excuses? Well, preacher, I'm just feel so inferior. Can I tell you something? If it's a spiritual gift, you cannot operate in the area of your gift without the power of the Holy Spirit. It will always move you out of the comfort zone. It is a gift that can only be used effectively by the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Are you looking at other people? You say, well, you know, some Christians do this and some are. That's not the point. What are you doing with your gift? Remember, Simon Peter was saying, he said to Jesus, what are these two guys going to do? Jesus says, none of your business. You say, Jesus said that? Yeah, John 21, read it this afternoon. And it's still applicable today. Quit looking at what other Christians are doing or they're not doing. What are you doing? All God's going to expect of you and me is what we do with the gift He's given us. And the same Bible that says that God gives to all believers a gift, are you ready? Get your pen out. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it. It's in the Bible. In fact, one day, Jesus told a parable. And I just love to tell stories that Jesus told. And it's found in Matthew chapter 25. Are you ready? Here's what he says. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country. And he called all of his servants together and delivered unto them his goods. Surely you don't need me to even interpret that. You get the point. It's about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is the one who went away to heaven. But before he went to heaven, what did he do? He called together all of his children and all of his servants and said, here, I'm going to give you what you need to do the work of the kingdom while I'm gone. Look at the next verse. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1. But to every man, according to his several ability, according to what God planned for them to do in the kingdom. And he took his journey. And the man that had received 5 talents went and traded the same and made 5 more. Now he's got 10. And likewise, the man that received 2, he went and used his wisely, and now he's got 4. But the one that had received only 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, I'm deliberately breaking this up so we don't read ahead. Everybody look up here. This is worth paying careful attention. We are not equally talented. I don't care how much I practice, I can't sing like her or play like him. It's not a matter of practice. It's giftedness. And if one of the greatest things that ever happened in my life as a young man was to understand that I must stop comparing myself to other people. There's always somebody out there who's more talented. God's word doesn't say we're all created equal. Some have five, some have two, but wait a minute. Everybody's got one. No one is left out. And all that God's going to hold you accountable for is what you do with that gift He has given to you. Look on the screen now, verse 19. It says, and after a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and he... What's that mean? Accountability. He does require accountability with these gifts. It's required in stewardship that a man be found faithful. Okay, well, what did he do? Look at verse 20. And he that received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents. And the Lord said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. And he that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you gave me 2. I've gained 2 more beside. And he said the same thing to him. Look up here. You find that interesting? When you use your talent, God may multiply it. God may give you more opportunities, but not if you are unfaithful. What about this man that had only 1? And you know, I think it's so interesting. God does everything on purpose. This man wasn't like the prodigal. He didn't go off in some hell hole and waste his talent. He just dug a hole and didn't use it. And ladies and gentlemen, if we're not using our talent, you may be putting in your tithe. You may be coming to prayer meeting on Tuesday night, and I commend you for that. But if you're not using your God-given talent to benefit and bless the body of Christ, then you're being disobedient. Use it or lose it. Because what's our title today? Stewardship is not only about money. It's also about our time. And it's about our talent. And of course, God requires our tithes and offerings. Yes, it's not suggestions. It's very clear in Scripture. God has a plan of stewardship, just like He has a plan of salvation, and it has never changed. Look on the screen. I love this wonderful promise in Malachi 3. God asks, will a man rob God? Well, you've robbed me. Somebody hold up one of the ushers out here a moment ago? No. Well, how have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings. We talked about that last week. Tithes, the 10%. Offerings, that which we give beyond as we are led and we are able. And God says that when we're not faithful, don't do what's required. It brings financial reversals and curse upon our finances. Well, is there a solution? Yeah. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. That's how God finances His kingdom. But He says, prove me and see if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There shall not be room enough to receive it. I know very well that obedience to God's commandment of tithing requires faith. And I know that for some of you that are thinking about increasing the percentage of your tithes and what you give to missions or to other ministries, it requires faith. And I can tell you something else. It even requires more faith when your job is insecure. When the economy is unstable. When your health is failing. There's always going to be these excuses, just like not using our talent. But that's why the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the Bible says that the just shall live by their faith. We learned last week that God requires the tenth. And it's the first tenth. Look on the screen. I'll let you share it with me. Honor the Lord with thy substance. And what's the rest of that verse say? With what part? Say it loudly. That's hard to say, isn't it? We don't give God what's left over. We don't give to God if we can afford it. What's he say? We honor the Lord with the first fruits of how much? Of all. He even tells us not only the first tenth, he tells us when to bring in. That's the first day of the week. Look on the screen. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of, not when it's convenient, not if you can afford it, but the first day of every week. How many of you? Everyone. Who's that? Children. So it was only a dollar and a dime. Teach your children to tithe so they can be blessed of God, like my mother taught me. Teenagers, singles, widows, unemployed, retired, students, that's all covered. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you do what? Lay by him in store. How much do we give? As God has prospered him. Whatever God gives you, his plan is a percentage. Everybody look up here and think for a moment about what God led us to speak about today. Do you discern an era that's running through all of this message? Do you think God is trying to teach us something about his requirements? Seems to me that he tells us to give him the first day of the week. I'm not preaching on it. There's a lot more I could say. But ladies and gentlemen, there is a reason God changed the day of worship. In fact, there's more than one. Most of all, is his resurrection. But it also is a statement. We don't give God what's left over. We start the week. The first day of the week. Why do you think he says that we are to give God the first part of each day? Why do you think God wants the first tenth of all our increase? You get the point? God is concerned more about our heart than he is about our money. In fact, I will never forget this. And I pray that it can have the impact on you it had on me. But I will never forget one time when I was doing an in-depth study on the Ten Commandments. And I received a revelation that I had never heard before. And it still impacts me. As God was speaking about the second commandment and having no idols, putting nothing and no person ahead of him, God made this statement. For the Lord thy God am a jealous God. God is jealous? Well, settle down. He's not worried about, he's not insecure. But you see, God desires for his creation, and especially those of us who are redeemed, to remember why he made us and why he saved us and why we are here, and that is to enjoy and worship him. Did he not say, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, a person that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. So bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Every man, as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves what kind of giver? Obedience is important, but so is attitude. 2 Chronicles 16:9. God's eyes are going to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. Just looking for someone whose heart is right with him. Why don't you decide this morning, Lord, I'm going to do what you require. For 2 Corinthians says in chapter 4 and verse 2, it is what's the word? Not a recommendation. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And in 750 B.C., God used a prophet named Micah to ask a very important question. It's the theme of our message today. And what doth the Lord require of thee? One thing I love about Grace Bible Church is our diversity. And we are diverse in so many, many, many ways. Many of us have come from good, strong, biblical doctrine. Many haven't. But for all of you that have been, you can stand up right now with me and quote Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Yes, sirree, they are true. By grace are you saved. Through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it's amazing to me how many times we don't read the next verse. And every one of us who have been saved by God's unmerited grace, through faith that He Himself gave us the ability to believe what He said, He says, and every one of us who have been saved by grace through faith are workmen in His hand, created unto good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. No, our actions have nothing to do with our salvation. That's a finished work on Calvary. But our obedience is a demonstration of our love, a demonstration of our faith. And God requires our time, our talent, our tithes and offerings. And finally, you'll find in the Scriptures that God requires our testimony. You say, Gene, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to answer it for you. Look on the screen, if you will, at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Another very familiar Scripture. It says that if thou... What's the second word? Yeah. If. If a person does what? Confesses, speaks out loud with their mouth the Lord Jesus, and of course believes in their heart that God raised Him from the dead, that person can be saved. For with the heart man believes unto the righteousness, and with the mouth confession, testimony is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth in Him shall not be ashamed. Of course, it's foundational to believe in our heart what God has said about Jesus' death and resurrection. But it's not just enough to believe it in your heart. God says that we are required to confess it with our mouth. And anyone that is ashamed has got a spiritual problem. I'm amazed how many times every week I ask somebody, are you a Christian? Well, I believe in God, but I'm not a Christian. Sometimes I ask people, have you been biblically baptized? No, I haven't been baptized, but you know, I'm a believer. Do you understand what the purpose of baptism is? It doesn't save you. It doesn't wash away your sins. It's a statement of your faith. And the Bible says, whosoever believeth will not be ashamed. In fact, I want you to read the words of Jesus. Are you ready? Any person, therefore, who shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father in heaven. And anyone that shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father in heaven. Look up here for a moment. You know what this Bible says? Over and over and over. The Bible says that someday every person listening to this message, including the preacher, we're going to suddenly stand before God. And we're going to give an account for what we have done on this earth. We're even told it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But I can tell you, when you stand there on that day, and you'll stand alone, first question He's going to ask you, what did you do with my Son, Jesus Christ? Or you may start trying to make excuses about all the hypocrites in the church, you know. You may even try to get pity, you know, well, I'm just messed up so many times. He said, I know every time you mess up. My question is, what did you do with my Son, Jesus Christ? I loved you in spite of your sin. I sent my Son Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to become sin for you. God showed His love while we were yet sinners. Christ died for our sins. What did you do with Him? Jesus even warned us that with a story, I think summarizes everything. I'll close with that. Jesus, one day in Luke chapter 12, here's what He said. He spake a parable unto them, that the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? I have no room to store any more of my fruits. You know, I don't guess it ever entered into his mind, why don't you give it away? But see, selfish people don't think that way. So he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull down my barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns, and then I'm going to bestow all my fruit and all my goods, and then I'm going to say to my soul, you got plenty laid aside for many years, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And in the midst of all this conversation he was having with himself, he had a visitor. God showed up and said, you fool, this night, not someday, tonight, your soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all these things that have preoccupied your mind and activities, and what are you going to do with that? And I want to ask you two questions as I close today. What if God stopped your heart right now? And you stood before Him. Would He say, enter into my kingdom? If you're not 100% certain, please don't leave here today without getting that settled. It's the most important question we'll ever ask, because someday our soul will be required. But I want to ask a second question. All of you that are believers who have come to that place in your life that you accepted Christ as your Savior, and according to the Bible, you have eternal life, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My second question is this. If you should die today, if God stopped your heart, and you stood before the omniscient, holy God, and He opened the book of your life since you got saved. Wait a minute. There's no record before you got saved. But the Bible says that from the day you gave your life to Christ, from that day forward, there's a record. And if that should happen today, and you as a believer stood before God on your way to heaven, would God be able to look at the record and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. And beloved, if you can't, it's time to make some changes. For God requires, His plan of stewardship, it requires faith. It requires action. And it also requires perseverance. We got to stay in the race. As we stand together, our heads bowed and our eyes are closed, and our counselors are going to come here to the front as we do every single week. And you that are listening by means of technology, by means of Facebook, or later on our website, our phone number here at Grace Bible Church is 407-578-2085. And if you would like someone to speak with you about that most important decision of your life, just call that number right now. But I urge you, sitting here in this vast assembly, don't walk out of here without knowing your name is in the book of life. And don't leave here backslidden. We cannot change our past, but by the grace of God, we can change our future. Will you today repent, be reborn? Whatever God is saying to you, I urge you do it right now. You say, "Man, I'd like to belong to a church like this. What do I need to do?" Just come down. Tell one of these workers. It would be our joy to tell you the very clear steps that a person must make in order to become a part of the family of God. Praise the Lord. Who else would come right now? You may even be visiting today. Amen. Say, I don't know yet about church membership. We welcome that. But our primary desire today is to get you ready for that day when you stand before God. And part of the purpose of this annual stewardship emphasis is to bring to our remembrance the things that we should be doing as disciples of the Lord Jesus. Disciple is a disciplined person who's built into their schedule, this is the Lord's day. This is the Lord's time. This is the Lord's money. This is the Lord's gift. This is the Lord's will. This is the Lord's house. And honor God. And maybe today you were touched, as I was, by the beautiful singing and testimony. I think I'll ever forget about that taxi cab driver. Wasn't that awesome? Let me tell you something. God's no respecter of persons. Look what God did through a humble fourth grade educated man. The Bible says that the seed of the righteous shall be blessed of the Lord into the third and fourth generations of those who just do two things. Love God and keep His commandments. Don't say anything about achievements. Just love God. Keep His commandments. Who will come today making things right with God? That's why we have both genders here at the altar, where you would be comfortable to speak to someone of your gender. And all of these are sworn to confidentiality. All of them trained by your pastor and say the same thing to you that I would say. Feel very strongly God is dealing with someone else. Come as the Spirit of God draws you. I love that verse. Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. Don't resist Him. For a person who is often rebuked and hardeneth his heart, someday will be cut off. Come today. Make this the day of your salvation. Maybe I'm preaching to a prodigal today. You feel like you've messed up. Well, maybe you have. So have I. So has everyone else that's honest. But where sin abounded, grace doth much more abound. Best thing you can do is throw yourself upon the grace of God. The greatest theme of the Bible. Come today and get right with God. Anyone else? All right, one more time. Look up here. How many of you would like to hear Linda sing again? Huh? Well, every time I say that, Linda, it's America. They can leave if they want to.